want to be obedient, and as I studied this afternoon, and just a bunch of different things going through my mind, and I'm thankful to the Lord for how He works, and we're about to read a story about how He used a little lady and worked through her life, through her past that had been less than stellar and less than wonderful. God worked through her and took her life and changed the lives of a lot of other people. John 4 and verse number 4 is where we'll start reading. The Bible says, "And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he taught with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and said to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. We're going to jump down to verse number 39. You'll do that with me, please. The Bible says, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless tonight. You'd bless the reading of your word. You would allow it to sit in our hearts and for us to ponder on your word. God, give me the right words to say to proclaim the principles and the truth that you have given to us in your word. Help me, Lord, give me your power and your wisdom, and use tonight, Lord, to be a benchmark place in someone's life to help them to carry your message and your word to a lost and dying world. Lord, I love you and I thank you for loving me. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my many sins, many shortcomings where I failed you. Let me be pure and holy before you. In Jesus' wonderful, lovely name I pray. Amen. In John chapter number 4, I wanted to read the majority of that chapter of the Bible because I can't assume that everybody in here knows the story of the little Samaritan woman that was at the well. I realize that many of you come up in Sunday school and you've probably heard that, or if you've been under my preaching long, you've probably heard me reference, but I could not assume that everybody knew the story and understood the background between verses 4 and down through verse number 42, and so I wanted to read that because I want you to understand tonight, and I guess if I titled this message anything, it would be The Power of a Testimony. The power of a testimony. This little lady here got her life changed there that day. I want you to notice something that I read there. It said that it was about the sixth hour. And according to the way that the Jewish day would go, that would mean that it would have been about noon our time. So the sun would have been pretty high in the sky. It would have been pretty hot. And all of the other ladies, the Jewish women and all the other people that were even in the Samaritans, the people of Sychar would have already came and drawn their water, but this little lady came out after everybody else to get her water. She had a past. She had people that didn't like her. Even in our day and time, there are people who do not speak well of someone who's been married 4 or 5 times, and even then, as this woman was, is living with a man who is not married, she's not married to. And so we're not just reading about a historical event happening that happened in Samaria. We're reading about something that happens in our day and time too, where people believe that because of their past, they've been excluded or they are excluded and they've been kicked out of society and the ability to be around other people because of how their life has went. But I thank God that the Lord Jesus still had a conversation with this woman, even though they didn't speak. She's the one that brought that up. Did you notice that? She's the one that said, hey, the Jews don't have any dwelling or have any dealings with us Samaritans. What are you doing talking to me? And Jesus told her, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, you'd ask something of me, and thank God for that. Well, the little lady, as I read to you, got her life changed, and she said, we know that the Christ is coming, that Messiah is coming, and he is called Christ, and when he's come, he'll tell us all things. And then Jesus revealed himself to her and said, I that speak unto thee am he. And then this little woman left her water pot. She forgot the reason that she had came down to get to do. She had forgotten her purpose, which was to meet her physical needs, and she realized that she had a greater purpose, and she left her water pot, went back to the city of Sychar, found the men, the same ones that had cast her out, the same people that didn't trust her, didn't believe her, made her an outsider, if you will, and she began to tell them about a man who told her all things which ever I did. And then she said, is this not the Christ? And they went out of the city and they came to him. And then the Bible goes on to say, and that's where we'll pick up in verse number 39, the power of a testimony. This lady's testimony had power. Let's look at verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. The Lord took this life that had been lived in ungodliness and gave this woman the influence over these other people that she was around and made her testimony influential in their life. That's the first thing, the power of a testimony, is that it is influential. Now, if you don't think that that means much, you only need to go on social media and you will find a whole classification of people in our day and time, and they are called what? Influencers, And they are called influencers because they influence people to purchase products or to go in a certain direction or to do certain things. And every one of those influencers on social media testify about a product, about something that they know, about something they heard, about an interview they done, about a podcast they done. And all of what we listen to is what influences us in our daily life. And in order for a testimony or for someone to say something in our lives or to speak in our lives, it becomes influential, or it has an indirect power over us, events, or things that are in our lives. Y'all still with me? So this little woman here, she testified, "He told me all that ever I did," and the Bible says that many believed because of this woman simply telling what Jesus had done for her. Let me tell you why churches are empty in this day and time. Let me tell you why we don't see the great sweeping movements of God as we saw in yesteryear. We have an entire generation of Christians who keep their testimony and their influence to themselves rather than tell someone how good God's been in their life. We're too worried about being politically correct. We're too worried about offending someone because they may not believe the way that we believe. Friend of mine, you have a testimony that God has given to you. You have the ability to influence someone, whether it's indirectly or directly. You have this ability that's given to you by God to simply tell what God has done in your life. And yet you keep it quiet. You don't tell anybody. I'm amazed. And we can't understand why that our friends and our coworkers, or why we don't have influence over them. We'll be out on the job, and I've seen this happen, these scenarios play out, where somebody claims to be a Christian, and the first little wind of adversity that blows along, they end up going off the deep end, fussing and cussing and having a bad day, all because some little minor thing inconvenienced them, and they blow their influence. "Well, I was late this morning, that means my whole day's got to be bad." Why? Because you want it to be bad? One event in your day doesn't influence the other events unless you allow it to. You could look at that event and say, "Well, praise God, the Lord made me a little bit late. That way that car wouldn't hit me head on the way when I got a little further down the road." You all right? See, we think we know what's best, and we think we know everything about our life, and we think that we're in control. God's in control of our every waking moment that we have. And our influence comes when we say, "Hey, no matter how my day is going, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to give God glory and tell somebody what He's done for you." This is something that happens that is influential. It's our testimony. This little lady had this influential testimony. You can have an influential testimony. Matter of fact, your testimony is already influential. You just don't use it. Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, go, stand and speak in the temple to tell the people all the words of this life. Man, I've had people come up to me and say, man, I like them services when everybody gets to testifying and everybody gets to singing and it just breaks out. And boy, and we brag about it. We brag about it for months. Did you know that that can happen every single Sunday? We get to worship in the Lord. Instead, we'll sit on our hands. I can't throw my hand up and praise the Lord. Why not? Why can't you give God glory in the house of the Lord? I mean, we have created an environment to make it especially easy for you to glorify God in. That's why we come to church. We don't come for the entertainment purposes. We don't come because we like the certain singing. We don't come because we like our preacher. We come because we want to glorify God in an environment that is the utmost optimal place to where we can glorify God, and yet we sit and don't glorify God. What's wrong with us? We have this influential testimony, and we keep it to ourselves. We see it happen. Somebody will stand up and testify. Another person, they'll be on the other side of the room, but they can hear that testimony. And they hear this person testifying about how good God's been to them. And they get to thinking, the wheels get to turning, and they get slow. They're slow, because Baptist people, our wheels are slow to start turning. And it'll start turning. And once it starts turning, they think, you know what? Well, God's been good to me too. And here's what happens. You tell yourself, but if I stand up, I'm going to start crying. So what? Stand there and weep a while. Amen? The Bible says in the book of Psalms that God bottles up our tears. Amen. He knows every tear that you cry. If you need to stand up and cry, stand up and weep a while. Well, I don't know that preacher that I can do that. I don't know that I can. Look, if you stand up and say, I just want to say, glory to God, and then sit right back down, you'll be all right. It's not that you can't. It's that you won't. We're too worried about what someone else will think or what might go on in the rest of our day. Hey, just go stand and speak in the temple to the people the words of this life. Acts 18:9 says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. That person at the doctor's office, you don't know what they're facing. I remember one time Brother Garland Odom and I went out to dinner at Cracker Barrel over on Thornton Road, and I had never went out to dinner with him, and that was great. We was having a good time. That little waitress come walking up to us, and she said, can I get you a drink, or what can I get you a drink, gentlemen? Brother Garland, he didn't miss a beat. He looked up at her, and he said, ain't God good? I said, wait a minute, man, we just coming to dinner. You didn't tell me he's going to break out in revival meeting, amen? He said, ain't God good? And he looked at her, and he said, isn't it good to be saved? And she said this. She said, well, I've been baptized. He said, isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to know the Lord? Isn't it good to have peace in your heart? And I thought, man, we're fixing to wake Cracker Barrel up with a revival. Y'all just thought biscuits and cornbread was something. It's fixing to get on in here. Amen. He just testified. I don't know what God done through that little waitress's life. I know that by the time we left, she had heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I know that we had left on good terms, and I don't know what God, maybe we'll get to heaven one day and I'll find out exactly what God did. But listen, we don't have time to be afraid. We've got to speak and hold not our peace. God has been too good to us not to say anything. Get it out. Your testimony is influential. Acts 22:14-15 says, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Unfortunately, many Christians don't know the power of their own testimonies because they never give their own testimonies. Your testimony, as hers was influential. and may help a whole lot of other people. There's another thing about a testimony, the power of a testimony. They are essential. Testimonies are essential. Every one of us has got one. Whether or not we use it is a whole other thing. But it is essential. Now, the word essential means of the utmost importance, the basics, the fundamentals, something that one cannot do without. So you cannot have a Christian that does not have a testimony. Now, your testimony might not be as eventful as someone else's testimony. And that's okay. It is just as okay to say, I was raised in a Christian home. And at an early age, I trusted the Lord and believed on Him, and He saved me. As it is to say, you know, I went through several years of partying and drug addiction and spent a few years in the pen and had to get me right. They're just as important. They are equally influential, and they are equally essential to the house of God and to people to tell them about what's going on in their lives. John 4, verse 40 said, so when the Samaritans were coming to Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. Now, something that has always amazed me in contrast with this, with another story in the Bible. In Mark chapter number 5, we read the story of what's called the maniac at Gadara. Y'all remember that story? And the Bible says at the end of that the people of Capernaum ask him to leave. Now, a man's life got changed. Think about that testimony. His testimony was that he was clothed and seated at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. That's at the end of that, after all of that wickedness. And they wanted him to leave. Man, we got to get rid of this guy. He's shaking up how we do things. We don't want him around here anymore. And then we have John chapter number 4, where she goes and tells, and every one of the people in the city come to hear what Jesus has to say. And they like it so much that they want him to stay there, and he stays there with them for 2 days, even though he was on a journey to somewhere else. Amen? This essential testimony made these people want what she had. They saw how needful they were of this Savior who had done so much for her. The testimony of a Christian is a necessity in a Christian's life, especially when witnessing to someone. Psalm 66, verse 16 and 17 says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. Acts 4:20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Jeremiah 20 and verse number 9, His word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. They have to tell. We have to tell. Psalm 119, 172, my tongue shall speak of Thy word, for all Thy commandments are righteousness. Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, they shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk to Thy power to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Listen to the words of the Lord. Isaiah 43:10, ye are my witnesses. You know what witnesses do? They speak. They speak. You go to a court of law, they'll lay a Bible in front of a witness. They'll swear on that Bible to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help them God. I wish more people understood the severity of those words that they say when they say those things. Those witnesses tell what they saw. They tell what transpired. They see it and they give it in the way that they saw it. And the Lord said to Isaiah to convey to the Israelites those, and we have this principle that we can learn from, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Matthew 10:20. That's what happens when you put Matt and not Matthew in your notes. His name was Matthew. Y'all okay? Just scripture I got up here. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Luke 21, verses 13 through 15 says, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Your testimony cannot be refuted because it is your testimony. Isn't that something? I've never had anyone convince me that God didn't save me. I'm amazed at this school of thought that believes they're elite enough to know who God's picked and who He has not. That's a dangerous place to be.
Amen. You're right.
I dare not proclaim such wisdom as to assume that I know who God would pick and who God would not pick. He asked Job, that just and righteous man, who counseled me? Were you there when I created the world? Were you there when I spoke the waters into existence? Were you there when the Lord goes through all of these different things to Job? Who are we to determine what God does and does not do? How about I submit to Him in faith? Your testimony is essential. I got one more. We're going old school tonight. I got actual physical sheet of paper up here. There's one last thing here. Your testimony is eventual. It comes to a final result or an end. Adrian Rogers once said, a faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. There's going to be times that the faith that you have, your belief, is going to be tested. Absolutely. 1 Peter 1, verse number 7 said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. One day, this will all be over. And you'll look back and you will say, if you hadn't already started saying it, God's been good. Or maybe even now, God is good. And He's done more for me than I deserve. Your testimony is not just one event, but a series of events leading up to the day that we hear those blessed words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." That testimony carries us to that point. And our testimony isn't so that we can get glory and honor. It's so that we can honor and glorify Him for what He's brought us through. Proverbs 17:3 said, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Isaiah 48, 10 and 11, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. It's not for you and I to glory about how we made it through on our own accord. It's so that we can say, hey, I was facing a great mountain, but God took me up it. I was down in a low valley, but God brought me up out of it. I was in a miry pit, but God set my feet on solid ground. I was down and low and discouraged, and God brought me through and brought me up and encouraged my heart and established my goings. These are our eventual testimonies. Romans 5 verses 1 through 9 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would even some dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13 said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. God brings you through an event. It is not to deteriorate your faith. It is to bolster your faith in him. If it depended on us, we'd have fallen a long time ago. It depends on him, and his mighty hand has led us through some dangerous, perilous, crazy times. And we're in some dangerous, perilous, crazy times. But God still brings us through. God still walks with us. That old song has a lot of truth to it. That old song, In the Garden, that's my grandmother's favorite song. It said, I come to the garden while the dew is still on the roses. The voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and talks with me. Y'all know the old song. Thank God for the truth that's contained in those old words and in that old song. I'm glad that we have a God that'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll go with us always, even until the end of the world. And the reason he does so is because our testimony is eventual in our lives. We can get up and testify, hey, I remember a time in my life. And you'll say, but God brought me through. I'm learning that the older I get, the more opportunities I get to say, I was dealing with this, but God brought me through. I went through this, but God brought me through. I faced this trial, but God brought me through. I didn't understand at the time, but God brought me through. I was in the shadows of night, but God brought me through. I was in the valley of the shadow of death, but God brought me through. I was in the darkness where I didn't know exactly which way to go, but I praised him anyway, and God broke the chains, and the shackles fell off, and I walked out of that prison free and clear. Can you imagine if Paul and Silas hadn't prayed and sang praises that night in Acts chapter 16? Can you imagine what would have happened? That jailer might not have got saved. If they'd have been down there with a case of the mully grubs, like a modern Baptist church would do. Let's part right there. We do something wrong or stupid or against the law, and we find ourselves, some people will say, oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you got yourself in there. But the good news is, you don't have to just get yourself out. There's somebody that'll help you. Amen. Thank God for that one that'll help you and get you out of there, bring you up out of that horrible pit. Praise God for that one. Can you imagine if they had been saying, well, we didn't do nothing to get in here. They're down there. This prison guard has been charged with his life. If they escape, you die. Acts 16, read it for yourself. If they escape, you are responsible and you will be giving your life for these men, is what that man was told. And at midnight, they're in there praying, singing praises unto the Lord. And the walls begin to shake. God sends an earthquake and their chains and their fetters fall off of them. And that old Philippian jailer, the Bible says he drew his sword.
He was about to take his own life. That's a pretty low spot to be. We read later on that his family got saved too. So that tells me he is a daddy. That tells me he had a mama and a daddy at home, and he had a son and a daughter likely at home, and he had children depending on him at home, and he thought the only way out was to end it all. And old Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And the man called for a light and sprang in, is what the Bible says. And that night, he asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What a testimony. That their testimony of praise brought this man and his entire family to the Lord in the midst of their dark time. My, the eventual testimonies that we have. The power of a testimony. It is influential. It is essential, and it is eventual. And you will not know unless you give your testimony. It's my prayer that you will, not just here at church. Man, you meet somebody, you're going to go out into it, you're going to walk out them doors, you're going to walk out here to a broken world. You're going to sit down at a table. You probably did it this afternoon. You sit down at a table at a restaurant somewhere. There's a little waitress going to bring you food. She might be coming from a broken home or have a broken life. We don't know what they faced, but the last thing they need is for a Christian to go down there and be a jerk to them. Because your stinking sweet tea didn't get filled up. That lady's struggling to make ends meet, and you got mad because she forgot to fill your sweet tea up. Bless your little diabetic heart, amen? You all right? I don't understand this attitude of, if I don't get things exactly how I want them, then I'm just going to chew somebody out. That's not godly. And it's damaging, and it's a bad testimony. My, your testimony liable to change somebody's life. That drunk that you see no worth in, it's out there on the street, it liable to be your testimony. It brings that man to Christ, sobers him up. We don't know what's going to happen. Not long ago, I heard a testimony about a man who was at a tent meeting where Mordecai Ham was preaching, and he was an usher. Some of you guys might have heard this, might have read it too, but Mordecai Ham was preaching, and just right off the rip, I'll let you know, Billy Graham, you've probably heard that name before. Billy Graham was saved under Mordecai Ham's preaching. Mordecai Ham was preaching. There was no seats. There were two young boys, about 13, 14 years old, that walked up and wanted to get up under the tent and hear the man preach. And a lot of people don't know that this happened, that this transpired. But this man saw the two boys, couldn't find a seat, and they turned around and they started to walk off. And the man, the usher, got up and ran out to the boys and said, "Hey, we're going to go find you a seat up under this tent." And they brought him in, and he set them down. And one of those men, one of those boys that night was Billy Graham, who preached to thousands. You don't know what your testimony or what your actions will do. You and I must understand the power of a testimony can change someone's life, change someone's trajectory. Child of God, realize the power of a testimony tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you've heard the words that I've preached, and these people have too. God, I pray that you would touch hearts and we would realize the power of our testimony. God, help me to realize the power of my actions. You said in your word, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. God, I pray that as a church, we would redeem the time. As a church, we would redeem. We would see people. We would see the value that they are. God, would you help? God, would you move? Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Would you stand with us while we sing?